Good evening. This is Circe again with another Brat Time story. Tonight I'm going to read a selection from a book called The Extraordinary Journey of Harry Forth. It's written by Bruce K. Byers. And it's published by Author House Books. I chose this story because we are in a pandemic and there are fires raging on the West Coast and there's flooding and hurricanes on the East Coast in Texas. And this story deals with a weather event in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I also like this book because currently I'm living in New Mexico and Bruce Byers writes in great detail about some of the places I know and have been to in New Mexico and in Albuquerque, as well as the University of Maryland Munich campus. So, here is my selection. One gloomy Saturday afternoon, shortly after the family arrived in Albuquerque and took a suite at a motel on Route 66, Edward Forth took his two older sons for a drive. He wanted to get them out of their room and give his wife Margaret some peace. He drove them around a part of the city that was in the process of expanding with new residential housing. He was looking for a place he could rent. After riding around in the back seat of their father's big black 1940 Ford sedan for a couple of hours, Harry and Roger became bored and cold. They began to complain, and Ed decided it was time to return to the motel. He admonished them to sit up straight and to stop whining. The sky had been slate gray for most of the afternoon, and snow flurries had whooshed across the landscape while the three of them had been driving around. Ed decided to do some dead reckoning navigation to get back to Route 66 and began to follow several dirt roads that cut east and south across the mesa. As he drove along, the snow flurries turned denser. Large flakes fell across the windshield. He turned on the wipers and the defroster and continued to work his way in what he thought was a southeasterly direction. After 15 minutes, he could see only a couple hundred feet ahead. He continued on the road as the snow accumulated rapidly. A strong northwesterly wind blew sheets of it across the road, and Ed saw he was in the midst of a sudden storm that quickly threatened to cut off his vision. Harry and Roger were not paying much attention to what was happening around them. They were busy playing games with each other to amuse themselves. They looked up from time to time to see the large figure of their father hunched over the steering wheel and peering out into the whiteness. They were not conscious of the car's slower progress, but Ed had to slow down to keep track along the dirt road whose shoulders were barely visible. Now, in the gloom of the late afternoon, as the snow rapidly filled the contours of the road and the visibility decreased to 20 or 30 feet, Ed switched on the headlights to see whether they would penetrate and offer more contrast to the diminished outlines of the road ahead. After a few moments, he swore. The headlights were not helping, and daylight was beginning to fade. Darkness would soon be upon them. He was not in the cockpit of one of the aircraft he flew as an Air Force pilot. There was no radio and compass or other navigational aids to help him steer onward. He had to try to hold the car in the middle of the road and avoid getting stuck in a snowdrift along the shoulders. He had chosen to risk finding his way back to the main highway across the mesa instead of driving through unfamiliar streets and intersections of the city. He had not reckoned with the sudden blizzard. There were no cars or trucks ahead whose lights he could have followed. Instead, he found himself with his two sons alone in an unfamiliar area whose distances he had underestimated. The mountains to the east that rose high above the mesa were now no longer visible. Ed had lost all distant points of reference. He could only work his way forward and hope that the road would soon lead them back to the highway. Harry and Roger grew quiet as their father drove more slowly. Harry asked how soon they would be back with their mother and baby brother. Ed did not respond. He was trying to keep the car on the crown of the road, but the wet snow was beginning to make steering more difficult. It was also accumulating on the windshield despite the wiper action and the defroster was turned on high. He was afraid that the snow melting on the glass would start to freeze as it ran down to the hood. The passenger side windows were becoming encrusted with snow. A steady wind kept those on the driver's side mostly clear. Ed Forth estimated he had been driving nearly half an hour through the worsening storm when the car began to fishtail in the unplowed snow. He knew the tires were worn and he had no chains to put on them. Soon, they would lose most of their limited traction. If he did not find the highway, he could become stuck, and the three of them would face the prospect of spending the night in a blizzard. After struggling forward for another few minutes, the car finally ran into the deep, wind-blown snow. Ed tried to rock it back and forth, working the clutch and shifting from first gear to reverse several times. This only hastened the car's slide into deeper snow along the shoulder. After a few tries, he realized it was hopeless. He shut off the engine to save fuel and sat quietly. "What's wrong, Dad?" Harry asked. Again, silence. Harry knew not to pressure his father. Roger said he wanted to go back to the motel. Finally, Ed said he also wanted to get back to the motel before dark. This seemed to reassure the boys. Ed zipped up his leather bomber jacket and opened the door. He got out and looked at the road ahead. Its contours had almost disappeared. He figured he had less than an hour before sundown and darkness. With the car's headlights on, he could make out objects 40 or 50 feet ahead. He thought he heard traffic and guessed that maybe he was half a mile or less from the highway. He knew that sometimes the sound could be intensified by weather. The driving wind had started to abate. He concluded that he might have a 20 or 30 minute walk if he could follow the outline of the road. He noticed that the snowflakes were smaller and not falling as fast as before. He climbed back into the car. "Boys, we're going to have to walk to the highway. It's up ahead and we can make it. If we stay here, we'll have to spend the night and we could freeze. So let's go." He checked his watch and grabbed a flashlight from the glove compartment. He folded his seat forward to let Harry and Roger climb out. He was taking another risk. They were wearing light coats and low-cut shoes and had no gloves or caps. Stepping into the snow, Harry saw his shoes disappear and he felt cold cover the tops of his feet. He did not like it. Roger was at a greater disadvantage because he was shorter. "Come on," Ed commanded. He left the car's headlights on, shut the door, and began to walk. The two boys struggled behind him. After several minutes, he picked up Roger and placed him on his shoulders and grabbed Harry's left hand. "Keep moving," he ordered. As a pilot, he had taken chances before. Flying on instruments in bad weather was always unpleasant, but he had radio and radar and a better way of determining where he was. He had lived through many Ohio winters, but this was a new experience on unfamiliar terrain for a man who had grown up a city boy in East Cleveland. He considered the situation serious, but walked on, dragging Harry by the hand. Harry felt miserable. His feet were freezing. He nearly stumbled a couple of times trying to keep up. He feared being left behind. Roger sat atop his father's shoulders and marveled at the strange world around them. Just as suddenly as the snowstorm had arisen, it diminished. Ed looked up and saw clouds breaking up. He saw a patch of blue sky. A steady breeze continued from the northwest, but the snow almost stopped. He could hear the traffic somewhere ahead. He looked at his watch. They had been walking nearly 20 minutes. All Harry could think of was how is he going to stay on his feet? He saw his father was a strong man and did not slacken in his pace. If he had ever faced adversity in his young life, this was it. He felt naked in the snowstorm as the day was waning. Would he ever see his mother again? After trudging what seemed for a very long time, his father suddenly stopped. "Why are we stopping?" Harry asked. "Shh, listen," his father replied. Harry stood motionless. In the distance, somewhere behind them, he heard a thump, 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 thump. He had no idea what it might be. His father knew. He turned around in time to see two headlights emerge dimly out of the waning storm. He waved the flashlight. almost letting Roger slip from his shoulders. It was a big white pickup truck. After a minute, the battered vehicle pulled up and stopped beside them. An old man with leathery skin leaned out the driver's window. "Need a lift?" he asked. I'm going to stop there. When they did get back to the hotel, and Mrs. Forth was highly upset that her husband had left the car and forced the children to march through the snow, but it did turn out all right for the family. Think back to when you had adversity. Maybe it was when you were stationed somewhere. Maybe there was a fire or a flood or a tornado. Think about who rescued you or how you prepared. Maybe you rescued yourself. So tonight, think about something that you overcame that you could maybe write a story about. How did you react? What did you say? What did you do? As always, I will be with you at another time to share another story. So, good night, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.